If God be your Father. In today's message, Pastor says the greatest privilege we have is being a child of God. God is your Father. Pray and ask Him like a child to a father, and you will be amazed by the results of your prayer. Today's message also speaks of bondage of Egyptians and sickness of soul that you can come out of if you have the revelation God is your Father and experience every blessing which is yours in Christ Jesus.
Gospel of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6.
But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly.
Amen. I want you to read another scripture, John chapter 1 verse 12.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God.
But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Amen. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
And the 15th verse. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. The greatest privilege that we have is the privilege of being a child of God. Praise the Lord. I want to title the message, If God Be Your Father. If God be your Father. There are only two ways that you can be somebody's son. Either you have to be born to them, or you have to be legally adopted. That's the only way you can be somebody's son. In the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, the Bible says we have been adopted. The legal term, we have been adopted into the family of God. We are God's children because legally we are adopted. For those of us who are born again, we have this tremendous blessing in our lives, the greatest blessing I would say, to be called a child of God. Praise the Lord. This message is very simple, basic, but I pray this word will work as a tremendous light in your heart, and you will experience every blessing that is yours in Christ Jesus. If God be your Father, if God is really your Father, Matthew 6 and verse 6 says, you will go into a closet, close the door of the room, and you will pray in secret to your Father in heaven. And what you pray in secret, He will reward you openly. So if God was really your Father, you would pray. You would pray in secret. I enjoy this great blessing of my children. And the greatest joy is when my eldest one calls me Appa. It's beautiful. Appa. And when she comes before me, And she says, Appa, I already melt in my heart. And then she'll give one of these nice smiles and say, Lollipop. And then I will do magic and bring out the lollipop for her. She's got the freedom to come to her daddy and ask. People who pray are people who know I have a Father in heaven. I can ask him. I can ask him. Jesus, when he was here on earth, there is only one time when he used this word, God. And that was on the cross. When he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And even on that cross, after he said that, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he was here on earth, he said, what I see my Father do, I do. What I hear my Father say, I speak. See, he always spoke about God being his Father. And he told the disciples, when you pray, don't use fancy words. Don't say El Shaddai, El Elohim, El Elyon, Adonai, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. All that is beautiful. But when you pray, you pray and say, Our Father who art in heaven. Relate with him as a father and a son relationship. Relate to him like a son relating with a father. Call him daddy. Calling Abba. What a tremendous privilege. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When you have a spirit of bondage, the book of Romans says you can never call him Abba. But when you have been set free from a spirit of bondage, when you receive the spirit of sonship, the greatest privilege is to say, Father. Father. Abba. Hallelujah. Praise be to the name of Jesus. Look at somebody and say, if God is your Father, you will pray. You will pray. You will ask him. Amen. Jesus said, time is coming when true worshippers will worship the Father. In spirit and in truth, not God. Father, in spirit and in truth. I still remember, I preached a series years back on the Holy Spirit. And after that, I started a series. And I just preached, I think, just three times. And that was to a small crowd. But I remember the first meeting, I began to preach on the Father. Father God. It was such a tremendous anointing. It was like as if you were plugged into an electric socket. First series on the talks on just the Father in heaven. If God be your Father, you would pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You would ask him. You would ask him like a little child. Don't make it so complicated. Are you with me? Keep it simple. Relate with him like a father and speak to him. Bear your heart before him. Openly speak to him. Call on him. And you will be amazed by the results that you get in your prayer. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God be your Father. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 31 and 32.
Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things.
Yes, if God be your Father, you won't worry. But in their sixth chapter, from verses 25 onwards, Jesus is speaking about being concerned or worried about tomorrow. About what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will be clothed with. And Jesus said, if God be your Father, don't worry. Isn't it amazing? As Christians, we worry. I'm guilty indeed. As Christians, we worry. We are more afraid than Gentiles. And I'm guilty indeed. Every time you worry, every time you're afraid, every time you fear, let me tell you, very biblically, it is a sin. In the book of Nehemiah, the sixth chapter, Nehemiah is saying, can I sin against my God by being afraid? He said, can I sin against my God by being afraid? Can I sin against my God by being afraid? We never think of fear as a sin, do we? Do we? Do we ever think of fear as a sin? The Bible says this is a sin. As a matter of fact, of the list, the Bible speaks about the list of people who go to hell. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not going there. About the list of people who go to hell. And the first thing that is mentioned about the list of people who go to hell, you know, it is amazing. Anything that is mentioned first has got up is very important. For example, when the Holy Spirit speaks about the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, it speaks about the word of wisdom being the first gift. Because wisdom is the most important thing. You can have every other gift, but if you do not have wisdom, boom, it doesn't make sense. The same way about people who go to hell, the first set of people that is mentioned is the fearful. Revelations 21 verse 8. The fearful. Can you imagine that? We think the first sin that would get us to hell is adultery and smoking and drinking and, you know, cheating. All that is bad. But what I am saying is the sin that will get you to hell is by being afraid. By being fearful. It's a sign that you don't trust, you don't believe that you have a Father in heaven. You are not an orphan. Are you with me? You are a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Learn to say, Abba Father, I trust you for my tomorrow. Once I made a rich man. With a rich man. He wanted to show his son how rich he was. The rich man wanted to show his son how rich he was. So he took him through the streets. And after going through the streets and seeing all the homeless and the orphans and people, the poor people sleeping on the streets, they came back. And the father asked the son, what did you learn? The son said, thank you, daddy, for showing me the world outside. I've come to realize how poor we are. The father said, what? I was trying to show you how rich we are. But the son said, thank you for showing me the world. I've realized how poor we are. He said, we have one dog. They have so many dogs. Must be a Malayali, you know. We have lights, but they have the stars. We have one swimming pool, but they have the rivers. We have walls to protect us, but they have friends. have TV. Big, huge TV. Plenty of TVs in every room. But they spend time with their family. We have the world. But daddy, they have God. We have the world, but they have God. Let me tell you, this is a simple message, but for you to realize, we have a Father. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have a Father in heaven who will provide with all of our needs. Let us not worry about tomorrow. Let's not worry about our future. Let's not worry about our children. Let's not be anxious about it. Let it go into the hands of the Father. Let Him worry. Praise God. Hallelujah. He will take care of us. Put your hands together. Bless the name of Jesus one more time today. Give Him glory. A Father in heaven. So do not be worried. Every time worry comes in, you should say, I have a Father. I have daddy. God is my daddy. And as people very proudly say, my father is a policeman. My father is a politician. I mean, the chief minister of a state. But we have a Father in heaven who is God Himself. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of Jesus Christ. We have the greatest privilege. You are not an orphan. You are not alone. He said He will never leave you or forsake you. He shall be with you to the very ends of age. We have a Father in heaven. Bless the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. If God be your Father, you will not worry. Are you with me? For you to realize, if God be my Father, worry. In the Old Testament, the firstborn had certain privileges. One, he received the double portion. Two, he had the ministry of the priest. And three, he had authority. He had the ministry of a king also. But after Shem was born to Noah, you find these privileges got diverted. For example, when Israel wanted priest, the Levi tribe were the priest for the entire clans of Israel. They had the privilege of just being priest. Judah was given the privilege of having the kingly authority. Scepter shall not depart from Judah. I mean, they had the kingly authority. But when Jesus came, he was a priest, he was a king, and he carried the double portion of the Father. Are you with me? And so when Jesus comes into your life, we have something greater than what the Old Testament prophets had. We have authority. We can approach the Father in heaven as a priest. We can say, Father, I come to you with my sacrifice of praise, with my tongues, hallelujah, with the gifts that you've given me, I come before you. We have authority to cast out the devil, to heal the sick, hallelujah, to command bondages to break. We have authority, and we have the double portion of the anointing because Jesus Christ resides within our hearts. So do not be anxious or worried. We have that. If God is your Father, Matthew chapter 5. 44-45. Matthew chapter 5, 44-45.
But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Love your enemies.
Love your enemies.
Bless them that curse you.
Bless them that curse you.
Do good to them that hate you.
Do good to them that hate you.
And pray for them which despitefully use you.
And pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? The 45th verse.
That you may be the children of your Father.
That you may be the children of your Father.
Which is in heaven.
Now read the 46th verse.
For if you love them
which love you, what reward have you? Not even the publicans do the same. If you salute your brethren only, what difference is there between you and the publicans? Be therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. God be your Father, you will forgive. Look at somebody and say, if God be your Father, you will forgive. Isn't it amazing that so many people harbor so much of bitterness in their hearts? I'm amazed, even Christians. I'm amazed that Christians carry so much of bitterness. If God be your Father, you will forgive. Look at Exodus chapter 15. Book of Exodus, the 15th chapter. And read from verse 23 to 27. Read verse 23 onwards.
And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah.
They could not drink of the waters of Marah.
For they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah.
Which means bitterness. And the people murmured against Moses. I want you to underline that.
What shall we drink?
Yes.
And he cried unto the Lord.
I want you to underline that. He cried unto the Lord.
And the Lord showed him a tree.
Which he had cast into the waters,
the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them.
Amen. We know the story. Is this helping somebody? Are you with me today? We know the story. The children of Israel have been promised a land flowing with milk and honey. They come out of Egypt. Journey through the wilderness, and instead of milk and honey, they don't get good drinking water. They come to a small pool and the water is very bitter. And it was in the wilderness. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes when you go through the wilderness, what is in your heart comes out. The children of Israel got so disappointed, frustrated, they felt their hopes were dashed. God had lied to them about milk and honey. They got so dejected, discouraged, that they began to complain and murmur. Came out of their hearts, complaining and murmuring. But what came out of the heart of Moses was, Moses cried unto God. The wilderness reveals what is there in your heart. Moses cried unto God. These people were complaining. They thought it was a cruel joke. God had played tricks with them. And when Moses cried, God showed him a tree. A tree is never grown overnight. A tree is always planted with a purpose, with a vision. So the tree was planted way before they ever came that way. And when you go through the wilderness, chances are that you will always look for a shade. 6 million people, they didn't see the tree that God had kept for them. You know why? Because bitterness will block you from seeing the blessing that God has kept for you. In family relationships, so much of blessings are there, but husband and wife are bitter. They can't see the blessings that God has kept for them. They were blinded by bitterness. And God told Moses, you cut the tree, you place it onto the water, and the waters were made sweet. The tree is symbolic of the cross of Jesus. Look at somebody and say, it's symbolic of the cross of Jesus. Amen. Every bitterness will go away when you look to the cross of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Every hurt, every pain, every complaining, every murmuring will go when you look to the cross of Jesus Christ and realize God paid the price for you. He took your punishment. He took your wrath. He took your judgment upon himself. When you look to him, you can never honestly complain. And immediately after that, the next verse says, God told them, read that, Exodus 15 and verse 26. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do what is right in his sight, and will keep to his commandments and his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Open your mouth and say, he's the Lord that healeth us. Amen. The Lord said immediately after that, if you will obey me and keep my command, then none of the wasting diseases that came upon Egypt shall come upon you. Bitter people get sick. We used to preach retreats. Every time for a retreat, people get healed after the talk on sin and repentance, and after the talk on unforgiveness, where we teach them you have to forgive your enemies, you have to bless those who persecute you and despitefully use you. You forgive them, and the moment from their heart they forgive, the next day, sometimes instantaneously, skin problems vanish, heart problems vanish, gastric issues just dissolve, just go away. People get healed immediately after the talk on forgiveness. Because there is always there is something. When you forgive, immediately healing is manifested, because bitterness is crippling. Are you with me? Some people are bitter towards God, disappointed, angry with what's happened to them. They stepped out hearing the call of God, and they expected land of milk and honey, and look what's happened. The waters, their breakthrough didn't come. The waters are bitter. We are in the wilderness. We have not reached anywhere. But you cross that test. You pass that test. You forgive. You bless. You look to the cross of Calvary. Because you have a Father in heaven, let me tell you, he will remove sickness from your life. He will remove afflictions from your life. Every curse will be broken away the moment you say, Lord, I forgive, I bless. But what is amazing here is, the Lord said, I will not bring unto you the diseases that came upon the Egyptians. And I looked through the scriptures to find out what was the sicknesses that came to the Egyptians. When the judgment of God came, they had boils on their body. That is true. Apart from that, I could not find anything major. So there are sicknesses of the flesh, and there are sicknesses of the soul. What the Egyptians had, the diseases, was the sickness of the soul. Where, number one, they were indecisive. They could never take any decisions in life. One day they would say, let the children of Israel go. The next day they would tell Moses, avar poganda. തലേദിവസം അല്ലേ പറഞ്ഞു പോകാൻ, പിറ്റേ ദിവസം എങ്ങനെ മാറ്റിയത്? Decisive. Are you with me? It was a sickness, it was a bondage that the Egyptians had. When you have a father in heaven, You will be able to have clarity in your life. You will be able to take quick decisions led of the Holy Spirit of God, and you will see the hand of God functioning forth for you. In the name of Jesus, I speak it over His children this night in the name of Jesus now. The sickness that they had, the Egyptians had, was anger. They were angry with Moses. I've seen people, when they are in bondage, getting angry with the very people who can help them. Your boss can help you, but you are angry with your boss. He can promote you, but you don't trust the boss. You come into a church, you don't trust the pastor. The very people who can help you, whom God has placed, boom. The disease of the Egyptians was revenge. They said, "We will follow these Israelites." And they wanted to drag them back, they followed. Revenge. The disease of the Egyptians was doubting God. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe, maybe not. Once a man got a job, I've shared this before, once a man got a job, good pay. Job was very simple. All that he had to do was sort out potatoes. The big potatoes on one side, small potatoes on the right side, and the in-between ones in the middle. Small potatoes here, the big potatoes here, the in-between ones here. All he had to do was sort them out. Great pay. But after a month, he quit. The boss asked him, "Why did you quit?" He said, "It is those decisions. Which one is big? Which one is small? Which one comes in between?" These are the diseases of the Egyptians. Open your mouth and say it, "That do not belong to me or to my family. I have a Father in heaven. I won't give to bitterness. I am a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ." Say that with your mouth this night. Let that bondage break off from your life in the name of Jesus tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, church. I didn't hear a good amen to that. Come on. Come on. Let me hear a good shout to that. Hallelujah. Open your mouth and give a good shout to that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have a Father in heaven, you will forgive. You won't carry bitterness. You will let it go. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and the 14th verse. Matthew chapter 6 verse 14.
"For if you forgive men their trespasses,"
if you forgive them their trespasses,
"your heavenly Father will also forgive you."
If you forgive them your trespasses, your heavenly Father will also. Come on. If you forgive, then your heavenly Father will also forgive. Very basic, very simple. But because we have the Lord's table on Sunday morning, I want you to realize this truth. You have a Father in heaven. If you forgive, God said, "I will forgive you." You hold somebody's hurt against them, God says, "I will also hold it against you." Joe Sangal used to preach and used to say a joke, you know, you have listened to his, gone for his retreats. When you pray the prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven," comes to the point where it says, "Father," what does it say? How many of you will say the "Our Father"? How many of you know it? "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who sin against us. So when you don't forgive those who sin against you, what you're saying is, Father, don't forgive me also. But you're going to say, I forgive. I am a child of God. I have a father in heaven. I have a daddy in heaven who has forgiven me all my sins. Gosh, you don't want your sins on the screen, do you? On that great day when you stand before God? Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. I don't know why the Lord made me go through this talk tonight. Because you see this, I've got this fantastic message, fresh from the presence of God. This one here. We have a Father in heaven. Amen. God be your Father. Last point, and we pray. Matthew 5 and verse 16.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
If God is your Father, let your light shine before men. Are you with me? You don't walk in darkness. Whatever He has given you, you will use it for His glory. Early church, when they experienced revival, had four things going forth for them. One was, they prayed continuously. When you read Acts chapter 2. Second thing was that they desired fellowship. Every time they would gather together, Acts 2, 46, 47, they would come together for fellowship. Third thing, they had a desire to spread the gospel. And the fourth thing is, they would give unto the Lord. Acts 2, 44. All that they had, they would share. By their good works, they would exhibit their light. And when God is your Father, it is only then you will allow your light to shine. You can only give. You can bless somebody. You can share with somebody. But I see Christians fighting for a chair in the church. They're speaking in tongues. I was here first. This is my kerchief here. But when God is your Father, when you know He'll take care what you have, you will gladly share. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You will allow your light to shine. And I wonder whether really God is your Father, looking at some of you. I just wonder. I find more people self-centered, selfish. Mind holding on to that. Let your light shine. To intercede for somebody else, to share something with somebody else, at least a chair, at least to offer a lift to somebody who's just coming into church and who's just taking a bus. At least to be nice to somebody who is working for you. Let your light shine because you have a Father in heaven. Let's close our eyes tonight. God be your father. Can we just dim the lights for 5 minutes, please? Would you just either kneel down or stand up or just lay down before the presence of God? Allow the Holy Spirit to check your own heart. I know you have received Jesus into your heart. But if God be your Father, will you say, Lord, I'm sorry for being afraid and for worrying and getting anxious? Will you repent of that? Renounce it? Some of you just need to renounce your fears. You won't make it in life. Nothing good will happen to you. Not when you have God as your Father. Renounce those fears. Lay that worry at the feet of the Lord. Don't carry it, just lay it at the feet of Jesus. Unburden yourself before His presence. If there is bitterness within you, maybe you are angry, upset with your parents, with your spouse, with somebody else. Come on, you can't do that. If you are a child of God, God be your Father. Doesn't matter how people use you, spitefully use you, persecute you. Bible says forgive them, pray for them, bless them. Forgive them. Forgive your family. Don't carry that hurt. Cross that bitter Mara, just cross it. There is Elim across. 12 wells and 70 palm trees. When you pass through Mara, there is spaciousness and blessing coming your way. Just lay it at the feet of Jesus. Let none of the wasting diseases of Egypt ever come upon you. Instability, indecision, anger, revenge, comparisons, competition. No. Egyptians were always trying to compete with the Israelites, always wanting to overtake them. But laid at the feet of the Lord. Let none of those dirty Egyptian things come into your soul. Open your mouth, your heart, and say, Jesus, Jesus, I lay
my life
before you.
Give me
the revelation, in my heart, in my spirit, that I am a child of God. That I have a Father in heaven. I renounce every spirit of bondage in my life. I renounce it in the name of Jesus. I don't want to carry it. I receive the spirit of sonship, whereby I cry out, Abba Father. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Be my Lord and Master.
Be my Savior.
I lay my life before you.
Cleanse
me deep within from all my sins. Redeem me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I renounce the devil. I renounce Satan. I renounce sin. I renounce the world. I renounce every disease. Every curse of the Egyptians.
Egyptian.
I renounce it. It shall not prevail in my life. But I have a Father in heaven.
I have a Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I forgive everyone who has hurt me.
Everyone
who is persecuting me. I forgive them. I will pray for them. I will bless them. Let good come upon their lives.
Thank you, Jesus.
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 Bless them, Lord.
Bless them,
Lord. Bless them, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now lift your hands and praise the name of Jesus.
We give you glory.
Praise the name of Jesus.
We praise you, Lord.
Thank you for being here. You have just been blessed by a powerful message from Pastor Rajesh Matthew. We at Cornerstone Church encourage you to join us as we gather in the name of Jesus to worship the Lord and to feed on His fresh word every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for the Malayalam services and for the English services on Fridays 6:30 p.m. and Sundays 3 p.m. in the afternoon. You can also watch us live at www.joshuageneration.org, where the services are live streamed and archived for later viewing. God bless you, and remember, we are for signs and wonders for the Lord our God.